Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers, my dear sisters in Islam, and everyone else who's watching or listening to my new podcast titled Story with Wael Ibrahim. Now, the story behind Story Podcast is very simple. People love stories, and I love people. And so I think it's a perfect match to start with narrating some stories that I really adore and love that happened in my own life, in my wife's life, in my parents' lives, in the people around me, that perhaps we can deduce lessons out of these stories to suit our own very context, inshallah ta'ala. I'll be always waiting for your comments and feedbacks so that we can, inshallah ta'ala, benefit from your own story, benefit from your own backgrounds, and perhaps bring those stories to my podcast to benefit as many people as possible, inshallah ta'ala. So I hope that we're all ready for the first story. As some of you maybe know, that I was born in Egypt, Alexandria City, and growing up, my only hope, my only wish, my only desire was to establish a position among those musicians and singers in Egypt. And at that time, I had no passion whatsoever other than becoming a singer and a famous musician. Allah said no, alhamdulillah. Growing up also, I was a very disobedient child to my parents. And this is something that we have to pose here and send an advice to people who are listening and watching regarding the importance of parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that your Lord had decreed that you should never worship anyone but Him, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and to your parents you must treat them with all goodness, with all ihsan, with all perfection, to the best of your ability. So after the command of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the fulfillment of our purpose in this world, in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be good to our parents. Unfortunately, growing up, that was not me. And music was taking over every inch of my existence. And it made me resist any advice from elderly people like my parents and so on. But the point is that I pursue with might and excessive desire the career that I have dreamt of since I was young, music and singing. Fast forward, I traveled and I left home to Hong Kong after meeting a Filipino Catholic lady whom I loved, and we got married. Then in Hong Kong City, she taught me how to do trade, business, sales, marketing, and so on. But I didn't like it at all. As I told you earlier, I had no passion whatsoever for anything in life other than music and singing. But because money is also important, and I left Egypt and I left behind also children from my ex-wife, and I need to support them, then I have to work. And this is what happened. I started to work with her in a trading company in Hong Kong for a period of time until I started planning my next move regarding music and singing. So I actually found a band, Canadian dancers, who were roaming the streets of Hong Kong, the clubs of Hong Kong, the wedding parties and the like. And they were dancing the popular Egyptian belly dancing. Now, I don't want anyone to jump on YouTube and search these words, inshallah ta'ala. This is just a story so that we can all benefit from. I don't want to give tips and tricks about something that is haram. So the disclaimer here, if you search these sites or these songs or these dancing, you know, performances, it's on you, not on me. But the point is, I got in touch with those Canadian dancers and I offered my music, I offered my voice to accompany them in their weddings and so on. And it happened. We became a match at that time and we started working together. The money was good. I started doing what I loved doing for so many years. And life was so good until I reached a point that I wasn't satisfied. The money was coming almost every day. But there was that void in me a hole deep inside of me saying that this is not enough. People were admiring my voice, were admiring my performances, but again, the void was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I said, perhaps when I become famous, that would be fulfilled, that void would be filled up. But again, it didn't happen because I was almost every day in Hong Kong City, either in a wedding or in a club or just a performance somewhere, and people started to get to know that band and that singer and so on. But again, I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't really fulfilled. Until one day, I discovered a singer who was very popular at that time. His name was Leslie Cheung, and he was titled as Asian Biggest Superstar. The Asian Biggest Superstar. People would travel from all across Asia in particular to attend these concerts, new movies, and so on. And I followed the history of this man, and I loved him so much at that time, and I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be, you know, doing his style. But being an Egyptian who doesn't speak Chinese and so on, the ideas that I had in mind was, what if I proposed to Leslie Cheung and his production company to come up with this idea of me singing Chinese, but in Arabic lyrics, and he singing Arabic Arabic language with Chinese melody and so on, and we mix things up together. And some of the people around me were super excited with the idea, and they were promising that they will introduce me to Leslie's production company and so on. And in the process of reaching out to his production company and to him, hopefully, Leslie Cheung, the Asian biggest superstar, had thrown himself off the Mandarin Hotel in Hong Kong City, killing himself instantly, committing suicide, leaving a note in his hotel room, one word, and that word was depression. As I was sitting next to my wife, I remember this day vividly. I was sitting with my wife on the couch watching 7:30 news on that day, and the TV anchor came up, and she announced the news of the death of Leslie Cheung. And all of a sudden, I blacked out. I couldn't fathom the fact that such a man with his fame, money, and wealth and position in society would simply kill himself because he was depressed. Why wasn't money enough to offer him anything other than depression? Why was fame not enough for him to be content and happy in life? Like, I was so devastated, and Shaitan started also throwing ideas in my mind that perhaps you're gonna die like him as well, because this is what you're looking for, this is what you're running after. So with those ideas in mind, I became depressed myself, subhanAllah. For about a couple of months, I couldn't sleep. I would be trying to sleep, and my wife would be next to me on the bed, and all of a sudden I would jump off the bed, afraid, scared, my heart would be racing, my knees would be shaking. Things that I couldn't explain back then, but it was absolutely severe depression, because I was running after the world, and he's a man who have it all, or he had it all, and he just threw everything behind his back, killing himself in that manner. So life started to appear to me in different ways. So I tried everything. I tried medications. I tried smoking. I tried a lot of other vices. May Allah protect us all. And it never provided me, all these channels never provided me with anything other than sadness, depression, and that void that I talked about earlier was getting deeper and deeper. I felt like I am worth nothing. SubhanAllah al-Azim. Until one day, subhanAllah, I remember my father, may Allah have mercy on him, which inshallah in the podcast we'll have a lot of stories to share about my father. May Allah grant him Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. But I remember my father, when we were young, he used to take us to the masjid, he used to take us to the mosque, where he would tell the mashayikh there to teach us how to pray. So I remember that prayer, you know, being a Muslim, prayer is a big part of our existence. In fact, it is the main pillar of our faith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salah imaduddin or amududdin." Prayer is the backbone or the main pillar of this deen. Whosoever had established it has established the entire deen, and whosoever demolished it, meaning neglected, had neglected or demolished the entire deen. So when I remember this, I asked myself, perhaps salah is a solution. So I woke up that night, I remember, and I went to a room which was usually unused. It was like a storage room in the house back then in China. And I just prayed. I said, Allahu Akbar, and I just prayed. I didn't make wudu. I didn't look for the qibla, nothing. I was just desperate to find solution to this dark stage in my life, subhanAllah. And I prayed. And I remember this sheikh who used to teach me in the masjid. He used to say, when you pray, focus. And how to focus? He said, imagine the Kaaba, the house of Allah in front of you. And imagine Jannah on your right side, and imagine hellfire on your left, and the angel of death is waiting for you to finish so that he can take your soul back to him. Death. Wow, imagine, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, if today is really our last day in this dunya, because death is the reality that no one debates, whether you're a Muslim, Christian, Jews, or an atheist, doesn't matter. Everyone believes that day is going to come. So no one debates this. So when I remember this man telling me that the angel of death behind you waiting to take your soul back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, no, this prayer is going to be the best prayer in my life. So I was focused. Mind you, I was not with wudu or even facing the qibla. I didn't know. My heart was now racing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I made those two rak'ah, I remember. And as I was saying, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my wife, who was a Catholic Christian, very devoted Catholic Christian at that time, and you may ask, why did I marry a Catholic? Because I didn't care about religion. I just cared about the lady. The lady was good. So I just married her for her virtues. But she was there observing me praying all the time. And when I finished, I got scared because the idea of the angel of death behind me was, you know, occupying the entire atmosphere in that room. So when I turned around and my wife was there, I thought the angel of death was there already. Subhanallah al-Azim. But my wife was just there observing. And then she started asking me questions like, what you're doing? Why you're kissing or bowing to the ground? And these kind of questions that I couldn't even answer at that time. But I remember that we spent the whole morning, from all the time, for all night, actually, from that night when I woke up to pray all the way to the morning hours, just talking about Islam. And I was very ignorant at that time that I couldn't offer her any proper answer to her demands. But love filled her heart towards Salah, towards the Muslim prayers. And one day she told me, can I pray with you like this? But I don't want to become a Muslim. And of course, I said, of course, yes. So I printed the formal prayers and I gave it to her. I gave her a copy and I just told her, whatever I do, you just, you know, imitate or, you know, just follow. So as we pray, we started Allahu Akbar. She said, Allahu Akbar behind me. I start reading Al-Fatiha in Arabic. She had the translation and I bowed down. She bowed with me. Sami Allahu liman hamida. She rised with me. Allahu Akbar, and I hit the ground and I say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and I started hearing my wife weeping behind me. And I prolonged the sujood because I was wondering whether I should end the salah and check on my wife while she's crying or leave her to enjoy the moment, if that was something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing by guiding her to His way. And fair enough, after a while she quit going to the church. After years of being very devoted to the Sunday mass that she used to attend, and she used to even take me with her during those days when we were in Hong Kong, subhanAllah. But one day we were listening to a tape where the man was screaming, are you ignorant or are you arrogant? If you're ignorant, we are here to teach you. But if you're arrogant, then blame no one but yourself. And then he started talking about acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. And some people in that tape, when we were watching, embraced Islam. They took Shahada. And Alhamdulillah, my wife was one of them. It was during Asr time. I was passing by. My wife was in tears. What's the matter? And then I joked with her. I said, isn't it time for you to take Shahada? Or what's the plan, you know? And then she said, I already did. I said, what? You already did without me? Without me being a witness? No. Repeat after me. And then she repeated the Shahada after me. And great things happen after this, which I will, inshallah, share with you in another episode of Story with Wael Ibrahim. Jazakumullah khair for watching and listening. And hopefully, I will receive some feedback, questions that I may answer in future episodes, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. Once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.